say hello.
Hello. Hello, and what is your name, sir?
Weaver.
Weaver? Okay, Mr. Weaver. Who's going to do Mr. Weaver?
You are
Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Okay, if you will hold on 1 second, Honorable Mr. Neal will do your hearing, but we do need to make a phone call, so let me see if we can get the person the phone call, and then we'll turn it over to you, Mr. Honorable Mr. Neal. No, we don't have a phone call. No, we do not have a phone call because the number that Ms. Rogers gave is no longer in service, so we do not have a phone call, just for the record. You do have a new number? What's the new number, sir?
813-263-263-4572.
4572. And you do wish that we would try to reach Ms. Rogers?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on.
She might be at work.
Okay, we'll see.
Message for
free. Hello, Ms. Rogers. Hello, Ms. Rogers. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you were going to participate in the hearing for Mr. Weaver this afternoon, his parole hearing. If you get this message within the next 5 minutes, if you would give our office a call, and that is 602-542-5656. The time in Phoenix now is 1:37. So if you get the message shortly, please give us a call back. But we will go ahead with the hearing at this time. Thank you so very much, and have a great afternoon. Thank you. Apparently she's not home, sir, or wherever that number is. So we will go ahead with the hearing.
Sir, could you state your name and ABC number for the record, please? Sir, could you state your name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Kyle Weaver, 278-059.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon. I'm going to introduce the board members. I'm David Neal. I'm your panel chairman today. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. His right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. To his right is the Honorable Lee Thomas, and to his right is the Honorable Dale Mitchell. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Brady from the Department of Corrections, and he will also be representing the parole office today. Prior to the hearing, you signed and received a notification from the form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to obtain an attorney at your own expense. Did you obtain an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
Just speaking on my own behalf, sir.
Alrighty. Okay, I need to swear you and the parole officer in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I did. Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine the terms and conditions of your committee supervision, if the terms and conditions of your committee supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your committee supervision should be revoked or reinstated. to start with.
Okay.
To start with phase one, I'm going to read the allegations that are on your warrant, and after each allegation, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Did you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first allegation, there are two total. First allegation is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number two, as demonstrated by your not establishing residence at the traditional living center at 54 West Southern Avenue in Mesa on or about February 17, 2017, as verbally slash directed by your assigned parole officer on February 17, 2017. Your whereabouts were known, so that had to do with scouting from supervision. Is that true or is that false, sir?
In a way it's true, but in a way it's false, because he told me to go get the address that was needed for my parole address. So I left to get the address, and when I got there, I talked to the lady and explained the situation, and she said, well, yes, you can pull out of my house. So then I had called him that day.
All right, sir. All right, so you're saying it's false?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have an opportunity to tell us any information you want to. We just need to move through parts of this.
Okay.
So the second allegation on your warrant is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number four, as demonstrated by your failure to enroll into career program counseling through the CHC Health Services on or about February 17, 2017, as verbally directed on February 17, 2017. Is that one true or false?
I never finished enrolling.
Okay, so it's true? You didn't enroll?
True.
All right, thanks, sir. All right, this particular is about the first allegation.
Allegation number one. On 2/17/2017, during initial intake, the informant explains that due to no established or approved residence made prior to his release in custody, he is required to reside at CLC located at 54 West Southern Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, 5E5210. The defendant was explained that he would not be required to stay at CLC for the entire duration of his parole. However, this was his current approved residence at that time. And he reevaluated the reevaluation of other placements could be approved when provided to the parole office. Groves, to parole officer Groves, proper investigation. The offender was verbally directed to report to TLC on 2/17/2017 by 4 p.m. and provide TLC's address and direct contact phone number. On 2/22/2017, the offender was informed via fax from TLC that the offender never responded to their facility on 2/17/2017 and was thus discharged from the home. The offender whereabouts are unknown, thus he is absconded from supervision. On follow-up, on 2/22/2017, parole officer Groves made telephonic contact with the offender's mother, Emma Kilgore, who is also listed as the offender's emergency contact. Per Emma, the offender's exact location was not known and had received telephonic contact with her son on multiple occasions since his release. Emma stated that the offender had contacted her from different phone numbers and did not know how to contact him other than through the internet. Emma then went on to say that she was aware the offender had attempted to make telephonic contact with Groves multiple times over the past several days with no success. Parole officer Groves then explained he was off duty for 3 days and for this reason was now attempting to locate the offender due to his failure to report to TLC. Parole officer Groves then explained that his ability to locate the offender and was needed due to the offender's supervision level of maximum, and the avoidance of a warrant of arrest for the purpose of continued supervision. Emma stated that she would attempt to locate her son.
Mr. Beaver?
Yes, sir.
Can you lower the phone away from your nose and mouth a little bit? That the ringing on this end cuts out about half of it. Thank you.
Okay.
On 2/22/2017, the offender called parole officer Groves and stated his mother told him to call. The offender also stated he had attempted to call parole officer Groves multiple times over the past several days, and his parole officer Groves explained he was off duty and had received the offender's multiple voice messages. The offender was explained that due to his failure to establish a placement at TLC and his current supervision level of maximum, that he needed to report to the Mesa Regional Parole Office on the same day as this phone conversation of 2/22/2017 by 5 p.m. The offender became argumentative and was advised that his supervision level of maximum required his immediate presence into the Mesa Regional Parole Office, where approved housing would be discussed and supervision continued. The offender requested alternative options to his housing situation, however, was explained that none of them were considered valid per parole. The offender continued to argue and raise his voice. Parole Officer Groves again verbally directed the offender to report into the Mesa Regional Parole Office on 2/22/2017 by 5 p.m. Due to the offender's explosive language and escalating raised voice, Parole Officer Groves again verbally directed the offender to report into the Mesa Regional Parole Office on 2/22/2017 by 5 p.m. and then stated the call was now ended. After the phone call was ended, the offender called Parole Officer Groves three times from the same recognized phone number. However, Parole Officer Groves did not answer any of the calls as to avoid any further confrontation. The offender did not report into the Mesa Regional Parole Office on 2/22/2017 by 5 p.m. On 2/22/2017, during one of the offender's three phone calls to Parole Officer Groves, the following recorded voice message was left. Okay, Officer Groves, I just called you back to back. Right now, I'm doing what you're asking me to do, and you disrespect me and hang up in my fucking face. So whatever you want to do is what you want to do. If you want to make this work, okay, we can make this work. But to disrespect, I am a grown motherfucker, fucking man, and that's not what's going to happen. I've done served my 2.5 years, and y'all trying to keep me to serve in a 4 to 5 year sentence. So best believe, you'll be hearing from my lawyer, and I will be getting your supervisor information, because what you got going on, just because you ain't getting pussy at home, don't mean you need to take this shit out on me. You got the wrong one. I promise you that. On 22/2017, Parole Officer Groves receives a voicemail from Jeremy Gyro, who identified himself as an attorney requesting information about his client, Colin Weaver, pertaining to supervision dates and what was expected of the offender during supervision. On the same date, 2/22/2017, Parole Officer Groves attempted to make telephonic contact with Jeremy Gagel and was transferred to his voicemail by a woman who stated she was a secretary. Parole Officer Groves left a voice message stating the offender's supervision information was public information and could be accessed via the Arizona Department of Corrections website. Parole Officer Groves also stated if any further information was needed, an official request would need to be sent via fax. with the Mesa Regional Parole Office. Fax number provided in the same voice message. No request via fax was received. On 2/22/2017, parole officer made telephonic contact with TLC manager who verified the offender had not reported to their facility on 2/17/2017 and made no contact or reported to their location since that date. On 2/22/2017, parole officer Groves verified via Maricopa County Jail Information Center that no one with the offender's name and date of birth was in custody in the jail system. There's no other family or contact in the attempts to locate the offender.
Thank you. All right, sir. Now that Mr. Grady has read this for us, I don't quite understand why you're claiming this allegation is false. Can you give us a real quick explanation of why this isn't true?
It's not true because the day that I got out, where I had left to, the reason why I contacted him was to give him the address that he told me to get to him. I went and explained it to the lady, and she told him that he could come out to the house, check the house, and see where I'm going to be staying and everything like that. And because I don't have any family in Arizona. So he didn't pick up the phone, and he didn't pick up the phone, and I kept calling him and kept calling him. So after that first day, he left for a couple of days, and that's when I was like, oh, I can't just keep calling him. So I called my lawyer and I called my mother, and they both tried to contact him and do things like that, but I guess he was out of town or days off. They told me he was out of town. So, but I basically told him that it's hard for me to stay at the halfway house because I have PTSD bad. I've been in prison riots, and I already don't have family out here on top of being around people I don't know. Okay. Leaving my stuff around these people, sleeping around these people. It's already hard for me to sleep in prison.
Okay, but you even said that you were told that he was off. He explained, and I was explaining here that he was off on for 3 days. You were leaving messages on his phone specifically, so you're not going to get an answer for 3 days. And then when he's trying to contact you, he can't find you and everything. So, what you're saying isn't the information that's in this part that you're saying is not true. So, okay, we're going to move on to the next phase, all right, sir? And you have another opportunity to tell us everything you want to tell us about what's going on here, okay?
You're saying that it wasn't true that I didn't have
what I'm saying is your explanation for it so far has been off mark for what is in the allegation. But we're going to move on to the second phase of your hearing now, and you'll have another opportunity to tell us the information that you want us to know, okay? Just this is the first phase. We're just looking at what's there. We need to move through it. So, based on Mr. Weaver's admission on allegation number two and the information in the warrant and the information we can gather from Department of Corrections information, I move to find Mr. Weaver is delinquent, and as he has violated terms and conditions of supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
All right, sir. Okay, we're going to move into phase two now, but before we start our discussion, Mr. Grady is going to give us some more information. So stand by and listen, and we'll be right back with you.
Mr. Weaver was released from DLC on February 17th of 2017. He was arrested on September 29th of 2017 in Florida by County Sheriff's Office. He has no new charges. He returned back to DLC on October 12th of 2017. He's a CCD of January 27th of 2018 that reflects 224 days of scone days. Current conviction, 2015, theft, 1 year. 2015, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. 2015, pandering, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2013, theft, 9 months. He has two terms of DOC, his CUIR scores of 4-4, mental health scores of 3, substance abuse scores of 2. He has no gang affiliation. He has no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary violations are significant with drugs and riding, threat to staff noted. After his return to DOC, he received a major ticket for threatening and intimidating. Under arrest,
he got dismissed.
Under arrest, 2012, theft, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2013, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G3V5.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm going to go over some information that's in our packet. So on February 17, 2017, you reported to the Mesa Regional Parole Office as a homeless release. And prior to your release from custody, Parole Officer Groves had found and received signed consent for placement on February 8, 2017 from the Transitional Release Center located 54 West Southern Avenue in Mesa, Arizona. The offender failed to establish residency at TLC on the February 17, 2017, and had not received approval to change his address during supervision. February 22, 2017, Parole Officer Groves was notified by TLC staff that the offender did not establish residence on February 17, 2017. So you were assigned to TLC and you say you started your registration, but you didn't come here, correct?
No, the registration was for the health program.
Well, you were supposed to report to TLC, and you were supposed to register with them, which means that that's where you would be staying, and they said you never registered. And when I read the allegation earlier, you said that you started to register, but you didn't complete the registration. So that's all I'm making at you based on what you said.
I thought it was off of the other situation. I didn't understand the question.
Okay.
Today at TLC, he told me if I can go get the address to him, that he will look at the address and verify the address. And that's what I went to go do. And when I got the address for him, he did not answer his phone.
Okay, you realize he was talking about a process that has to be gone through by DOC. So you have to get the exact address given to him, and then he will turn it into a process for him to do for investigation. And so, if he passed it, if you left it on his wristband, I'm sure you passed it on. But during that same time, you were supposed to register with him and stay there until you were approved. And the terms and conditions you signed, you agreed to go to TLC and register there, and you knew that was the only approved place you could be. So when that started, where did you go when you didn't register at TLC? Where were you staying for that 224 days that you were out there?
The lady that used to go to church with my mother, they were friends at church.
Okay, so
it was in the beginning.
During that time, did you ever even leave a message from your parole officer that was the address that you were staying at? Do you want her to stay there, or ask if you could stay there, or follow up on whether they moved the other address for 214 days?
He knew exactly where I was at. I spoke to him personally and told him I was in the dean at the address speaking to the lady, and she said that he can come. She spoke to him too.
Well, okay, but
If you told him you were there speaking to a lady, that doesn't, to me, that would indicate that's where he's staying, because he hasn't proved it yet. So, did you stay at that address, even though he hadn't proved it for you? Or did you sit somewhere else waiting?
No, I stayed at that address. That's the only person in Arizona I knew.
Okay, well, I mean, the thing is you signed terms and conditions of release that you agreed to, and you signed it, and that was why they let you out. You agreed to go to TLC and register with them. And, you know, it states in there that you can't go anywhere else. And you failed to do that. Okay, so, okay, so we established you went there and that's where you stayed. Were you working in it during that time, Mom?
I didn't have an actual job from off the internet because nobody really called me for an interview, but there was a guy that would do floors and houses and things like that, and he would let me help him out on the side.
Okay. Did you ever do what you used to call wear out the pavement? Did you go knocking on doors of small businesses that don't use the internet to find employees or walk into a store somewhere where you just happened to be there at the right time until you got the job immediately? You just relied on all of the job boards on the internet? I'm just asking if that's the way you did it.
No, actually the same lady I was staying with, she knew the guy and said that he does a lot of housework, and he had plenty of housework for me to the point where I was just like, well, I don't need to go find another job. I'm doing this all day.
Okay, so basically you were working as a waiter for a guy that does floors. So you're not wrong with that, because that's the way you learn how to do that kind of work and get a trade to keep you active.
Right.
Okay.
Also, on the 17th of February, you were directed to enroll into the Career Criminal Counseling through CHC. You failed to complete your initial intake with CHC for Career Criminal Counseling, and thus never completed the program. And also,
that's the one that I thought you were talking about where I started. To enroll. I was in there waiting for the lady to call my name, but he had already told me to go get that address for him. So it was either the address or enroll in that. I was thinking I could do that the next day.
Okay. Also, we were assigned the color code program at TASC. You were assigned gray. And we were directed to call for the assigned color code of gray Monday through Friday, and the test when it said the color code of gray was announced. The announcement of the assigned color code of gray never took place prior to the offender scaling on February 17th. So, do you have a drug problem, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. And give any opportunity for the hearing. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Mr. Kino.
I just wanted some clarity on something. Mr. Grady, am I correct that he was arrested in Florida?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes, sir.
When did you leave for Florida?
I left for Florida after June 17th.
So how long were you in Florida? From June to?
Well, I got to Florida, my birthday is July 27th. I got there on the 29th of July. And at that, all my family is from Georgia, Ohio, Florida. So I went out there and I had a job.
And who arrested you in Florida?
Simonio County Sheriff.
Why did they have contact with you, sir?
because that morning, I had, me and Renee were out there, the girl that you called, and my mom stole money from my brother out of his account. So I woke up to them arguing, so I went to split them up and told my brother to go take off my mom's name off of his account. And I talked to my mom and let her know that wasn't right. If she needed money, to tell somebody don't steal it. And then she reported her car stolen. And when she did that, the officers came to the house and I explained the situation to them. They said, okay. So when he asked for my ID and everything, I'm thinking, okay, my parole has been up. I haven't done anything wrong, so why would I get arrested? So I gave him my ID, he ran my name, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a warrant was issued for my arrest. Because the whole time, even when I didn't check in, I kept checking online and kept checking online, and there was never a warrant issued for my arrest from February all the way until June. Soon as June hit, it said that my parole was completed online. So I stayed in Arizona all the way until June.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I know you're the panel chair, but at this point, I've heard enough information to be able to make a motion on this. I'm not sure. Do we need to go? I mean, the man admits he left the state, which is a violation of his condition, and I'm comfortable with making a motion at this point.
If I may, Mr. Board Chairman, I mean, I've
been on top of that, I've already served 100% of my time, so my paid lawyer, Jeremy Geigel, was the one who told me it was okay to leave state. He told me, go ahead and be with your family because you have no family here.
All right. One second, sir. I just wanted to follow up with Mr. Grady. Mr. Grady, is there some sort of online?
The EDC website?
Yes.
That's not accurate.
Okay.
It's an online website.
All right.
Yeah, that's just general public
information. I just wanted clarity on that. Thank you, Mr. Neal. Thank you.
The issue of the time comp, it is totally out of our hands that ABC does all that, and it's under state law. But I do believe that when you're an absconder, that your time stops when you abscond, and it doesn't pick back up, and you have to pay back some days. So you might want to talk to your lawyer about that. But right now,
I do understand that, but my thinking is when I got released in February, that was 100% of my time.
Well, it's very well explained on all of the paperwork when you get released about how that works and everything. So at this time, I'm going to move to revoke the judicial supervision of Mr. Weaver as he was delinquent, violating terms and conditions of supervision as that lapsed or was about to lapse or determined ways or something. Also, in the motion is the information received from Mr. Green about being picked up out of state and several other issues. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Weaver. We've voted to revoke your community supervision. Irregardless, you should be released on or about January 27th of 2018. So you have a chance then, you can go back to Florida and help your family or whatever, but at that point in time, unless you do something else wrong, you don't have any ties to seeing that you don't have to worry about supervision, parole, or where you stay. All right, you understand that?
Okay.
All right, between now and
then. I have one more question.
Yes, sir.
Everybody with this 100% situation, they're sending me around in circles. Everybody's saying my lawyer doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay,
and I just wanted... I just want all of your output on how that works. If I got out serving 100%,
Be complete until January 27, 2018, and that is because of the scale names and the way they compute the time. But your sentence isn't over until you complete your community supervision, and that final date was June 2017.
Community supervision.
Okay, yes.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't.
You need to check with CO3, and you need to check with the Department of Correction. We're not part of the Department of Correction. We are separate. So you need to check with them. We have no say-so over that whatsoever. The only thing that we had to make a determination whether to continue on community supervision or to revoke, and the board has voted to revoke. We're sorry about the misunderstanding, but that's all we can do, sir.
All right, thank you guys. Have a good holiday.
All right, you too, sir. Good luck to you.